Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Today we're going to talk about how to redevelop the former Cooper Stadium. Arshot Investment Corporation has an option to buy the 46-acre site for $3.3 million. And last week, developers rolled out a development proposal for a racetrack designed by NASCAR star Jeff Gordon. It hasn't been designed yet, but it might be. The project would include a hotel, a convention center, and possibly a mechanics school and auto technology classes. As with any change like this, there are obstacles. There's a lot of controversy. There's a lot of emotion. We wanted to talk about it today with a couple of the folks who represent the groups that oppose this sort of a plan because of the noise issues and other things. And also, we're lucky to have Arshot Investment General Counsel Joe Sugar with us today as well. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And in the studio, Carol Stewart, on the phone is Carol Stewart. She is president of the Franklinton Area Commission. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
And finally, Greenlawn Cemetery General Manager Linda Berkey in the studio with us. Hi, Linda.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Both Carol and Linda, correct me if I'm wrong, you're members of the opposition group ROAR.
Yes.
And that stands for Redevelop Our Area Responsibly. We did ask representatives of the city and county to join us. Both declined. The city said that all the power right now rests with the county, which owns the site. And despite official attendance at a recent meeting to unveil some of the Arshot plans, the county said that it would be inappropriate to comment because the ball is in the city's court where the zoning changes would occur. For the record, however, Franklin County Development and Planning Director Jim Schimmer told the Dispatch last week that the proposed plan validates the concept of a racetrack at the site. He called the idea of an auto technology school, quote, fantastic. And Franklin County Commissioner John O'Grady in the same article said that the Arshot Group put a lot of time and effort into understanding what this can be. I could only wish that they could be here themselves today to explain what they were talking about. In the same report last week, Arshot said that barriers as high as 35 feet would be constructed around the stadium walls or whatever is left of it to address any violation of city noise ordinances. So we're going to talk about the sound issue right off the bat and kind of get to that, get at the heart of it. Now, you got to remember, no one in the studio nor Carol is an expert on noise. So we're going to talk about the conclusions that we have right now and someday maybe we can get the experts on the show, but for now, this is what we're working with. So, Carol, first, there was a pool of consultants that was selected by a committee of area commissions, business, and representatives from the county and the city, and they put together a pool of consultants that could be used. And the consultant group that ROAR selected was not among them. Is that right?
True, because ROAR had already hired the noise consultancy, and they had already done their studies. We did ours last spring. The ROAR noise guy did his last spring.
Was there any reason, though, why, in retrospect?
More correction. Mm-hmm. The area commission was not part of that pool of people. It was the president of the Franklinton Board of Trade, the business organization, represented Franklinton.
Did you ask why noise consultancy wasn't added to that group? Did you?
No, we didn't get into that.
Okay. Tell us about the bottom line of what noise consultancy came up with.
Well, we have the report that was issued last it was done in the spring, and then it was made public in August, and it was put on the RoarColumbus.org website, and it was also distributed to the city and the county and many, many, many different people.
And they can get that online, can't
yes.
they? So anyone
yes.
can look at it?
At RoarColumbus.org. We've tried to keep everything public. We promised we would do that, and we've tried to do that. And the report, my interpretation of the noise consultancy's report that ROAR paid to have done is that the noise could not be contained on site.
What were the major factors that they considered when they came up with that, when they came to that conclusion? In other words, what kind of racing were they looking at? Do you know?
You mean what was our noise consultant looking at?
Right. Because there's different kinds of racing I'm learning in the process of this.
That's true. I can't remember which ones, but originally the Rohr Group and many other people thought it was NASCAR level, and now we understand that it's several levels down from NASCAR.
Joe Sugar, can you describe to us what the assumptions were for the company that you hired to do your noise study?
Our study is based on assumed noise emission levels of 95 decibels at 50 feet, which
doesn't mean anything to me.
Exactly. We're not experts. Okay. But that's what our consultants assure us is consistent with the levels of racing that we plan to conduct.
What kind of racing? What are we talking about? Drag racing, NASCAR?
Let me just speak to the Rohr study real quickly.
Okay.
The Rohr study is based on a comparison to five different tracks. One's a drag strip, which we're not going to have. Two are NASCAR super speedways, which we're not going to be. We are a half-mile track. Our average speeds are going to be more in the range of 80, maybe approaching 100 miles an hour. NASCAR races are more like 200 miles an hour, much louder. So we don't think it's fair to compare us to those two tracks. The last two tracks that the Rohr study compared us to are of a more grassroots level of racing, and the Rohr study I think concluded that the noise levels were not that loud, but then said this is probably not the type of racing that's going to go on at Cooper Stadium. This is exactly the type of racing that's going to go on at Cooper Stadium. We encouraged Rohr to hold off on paying anybody to produce a noise study until we had concluded our track designs. That was a very lengthy interactive process that required extensive noise modeling with our acoustical consultants because we want to make sure that we got the design just right. They chose not to wait. They produced their report. It was based on flawed assumptions and consequently, I think, is a gross overstatement of the impact.
Since we're none of us are experts, but I'm still trying to get my arms around, is there anything we can think of that people would generally understand is what the noise would be like? Is there anything you can compare it to at all that people would be familiar with, like a train in the distance? I'm trying to get some kind, you know, the roar of the stadium when the Buckeyes are winning.
Yeah, again, I'm not an expert. If you go online, there's all kinds of different, you know, noise thermometers out there. I can tell you that the numerical standards that we worked to achieve, and again, based on assumed noise emissions inside the facility of 95 decibels, we established as our goal to comply with the City of Columbus's noise ordinance, which is 65 decibels in residential areas. Our computer modeling tells us that we've done that with the construction of 35-foot high sound barriers around the whole track, plus a second wall along our southern boundary, the common boundary with Greenlawn Cemetery.
Okay, which would bring it within compliance of the current noise ordinance.
Correct.
Linda Berkey, General Manager, Greenlawn Cemetery. You've been there 12, 14 years?
Yes,
12 years. Tell us about Greenlawn. Tell us why this is a concern for Greenlawn.
Okay. Well, Greenlawn is a nonprofit cemetery established in 1848. It's the second largest cemetery in the state, and it's Central Ohio's foremost historic cemetery. Nearly all of Columbus' founding families are buried there. The wooded setting, which supports over 90% of Ohio's native woody species, provides habitat and food for a variety of birds, deer, fox, coyotes, and other wildlife. and it's been designated important bird area by Audubon, Ohio. We encourage people to use Green Lawn as a park. It's a beautiful place for a walk and for biking, and it's a peaceful place for reflection. It's also an active cemetery, doing more than 600 burials a year, many of which are performed in the section adjacent to the Cooper Stadium parking lot. And the Franklin County Veterans section is in that same area. Since it covers 360 acres, we're concerned about the noise right in the section adjacent to the parking lot.
Where a lot of the burials are taking place now.
Yes, okay. It's a current section. Mm-hmm. As well, we're worried about noise moving out over top of the walls and going maybe a mile, mile and a half, maybe 2 miles away, because the southern part of the cemetery is about a mile away from the northern part.
Okay. Now, I live about 3 miles from a train, and when I was walking home this morning, I could hear the train loud and clear quite a ways away, and it was loud, but it didn't seem to be disrupting anything. I'm trying to understand to what extent and how would it disrupt things at Green Lawn? Because you wouldn't be able to see anything from Green Lawn, right?
As if there are the barrier walls, no, right. You wouldn't be able to see anything. But if we had a service, there were three midget cars racing at the Coop last year, and we could hear it all over the cemetery. Now, there were no noise barriers, I will grant. However, that was just three cars, and we could hear it inside the office, which is at least a half mile south of the parking lot. And we could hear it clear at the south end of the cemetery, too. So,
and when you hear it, what is it? Is it what's it like to hear that kind of a noise?
At the south end of the cemetery, it was background. You could still conduct a service with three cars. Right at the parking lot, you couldn't have conducted a service there.
Okay. We're going to get back with more details about, you know, what's planned for it with BioShot. But, Joe, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to, and I've told Linda this before, but make sure everybody understands that we're very sensitive to Green Lawn. That's why we're constructing a second wall specifically for that property. My family's buried in Green Lawn. You know, my wife's family's buried in Green Lawn. That's where I will be buried. It's a beautiful place, and we don't think we're going to impact it. Our existing noise measurements in Green Lawn, this is noise coming from the freeway, coming from I-70, are already, 60 decibels. We're not going to add to that.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. We're talking about, of course, the development of Cooper Stadium and whether or not a racetrack should go in there. If you would like to talk about this with us, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We already have some calls waiting. I just ask you when you call, just let them know, are you for it or against it, so we can make sure that we get a balanced representation. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
My name is Sherry Miller, and I support public radio. It's there when you need it. It's there when you want it. It's there when you want entertainment, information, clear and concise, without the commercials, without the endless blather. That's why it's important to contribute.
And the number to call to support WOSU, 1-866-897-9678. Or go online to WOSU.org. I'm Amy Jurevich, and this is the WOSU Winter Fund Drive. Listeners are WOSU's most important source of income. And giving right now will keep programs such as All Sides with Ann Fisher, Morning Edition, All Things Considered. It will keep all those programs on the air in the year to come. It only takes a couple minutes of your time, so please invest in your future WOSU listening. 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. And thank you for your support.
Well, Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the redevelopment of Cooper Stadium. What should we do there? What will be done there right now? Arshot Investment Corporation has an option to buy the 46-acre site for $3.3 million. They want to turn it into a racetrack, among other things. It would be kind of a multi-use operation, and we want to hear more about that. And hear more from, as well, Linda Berkey, General Manager of Greenlawn Cemetery, about the overall impact on a place like Greenlawn. And also Carol Stewart is with us. She is the president of the Franklinton Area Commission, and also in the studio, Joe Sugar. He's general counsel for Arshot Investment. Thanks, everybody, again, for being with us. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Linda, let's talk about the birds. What do you know about them, and what can they stand? Because you've talked to experts, and if Arshot complies with the noise ordinance, would that be okay?
If the noise ordinance is applied, yes, it will be. I believe it will be fine for the birds. I'm not an expert on birds either, but I do know that we have that we're on a flyway from the neotropical warblers, et cetera, come. And Greenlawn is one of the biggest green spaces in southern Columbus, and it's a resting place for them. As long as there's food there, there's habitat with all the centuries-old trees that are available for roosting. And we have literally hundreds of birders on a Saturday morning in the spring. It's just amazing. Some rare birds that have taken up residence there. There's been a merlin there for several years, and great horned owls used to be there. I haven't seen them for a couple of years. But it's connected to the Scioto. The important bird area is the Scioto Greenlawn important bird area.
So what does noise do to birds? Yeah, Joe?
I'm assuming you brought this up because this was actually the first angle the media kind of approach the story with.
Everybody loves birds.
Correct. Right. We've talked to several bird experts who've made it very clear that, birds are not affected by noise. They say just look at all the birds that congregate around airports. They won't be impacted. But regardless, that's why we have the sound walls, because frankly, even if the birds aren't bothered, we want to make sure that the services aren't disturbed. And it's also worth mentioning because there are concerns about the Whittier Peninsula and the Audubon Center that was built there. Our sound study concludes that the noise coming off of our facility won't come close to even crossing the river, let alone getting to the Audubon Center.
I walk my dog down on the Olentangy River and right across the river is 315, and it's kind of constantly noisy, but it's sort of like an ambient sound. It's kind of there. It's sort of white noise, maybe that kind of a thing. With a racetrack, sometimes the noise can start suddenly and stop suddenly, doesn't it? It's different when it's maybe like, I wouldn't want to say a gunshot, but it's that sudden, it starts up and then it stops. There's a sort of like a, it's not a constant white noise. Does it not matter?
I suppose what you're saying is
it stuns you. It's
that you become maybe what you're saying is you become accustomed to hearing the freeway there. And let's remember this site is situated at the intersection of 70 and 71. There's a lot of freeway noise there.
Right.
And you're right. People probably just hear it as background noise. Maybe the same when you were talking about the train. There's a difference. Again, not a noise expert. But I think there's a difference between, perceiving the noise and the noise constituting a nuisance. And while our noise might be perceptible, it's certainly not going to violate any noise ordinance.
Let's take a few calls right now. And when we come back, I wanted to sort of talk about how Arshot came to the conclusion that this would be a good way to develop the site, and then move on and talk a little bit more about the development plans and what you're looking at, and have Carol and Linda tell us, you know, what they think generally about the plans as well.
And I think that's important to talk about the rest of the plan, because we keep referring to this as a racetrack. And what we're here to make sure everybody understands is this is much more than a racetrack. In most ways, the racing is very much secondary to the facility's other functions, which are extensive.
And I really do want to get to those. And I think Linda and Carol want to talk about them as well. So 614-292-8513. And Clay, you're on the air. You're in favor of the project.
I'm sorry. My line gets static. Am I on?
You are on.
Oh, thank you. Sorry about that. I appreciate you taking my call. I'm a business professional here in Columbus. I have a wife and a family here, longtime residents, and I'm also a big automotive enthusiast. And I'd like to say that as I am in favor of the program, I also represent a lot of people that aren't calling in today, which were very, very much in favor of the automotive history of Columbus, the rich automotive history, I might add. And we're current enthusiasts, not necessarily NASCAR. In fact, I'm not, quite frankly, a big fan of NASCAR myself. But what really impressed me with Aarschot's plans for the Cooper Park complex were that it was going to be essentially a year-round facility that would give economic and technological benefits to the city at a time when we really are trying to grow. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to take a couple seconds to talk about two things. Certainly, number one is the sound issue. Since we are in Ohio, I think people need to realize that while racing is loud, and I do respect Aarschot being very considerate of the surrounding area with regards to sound deadening, and certainly where roar is coming from, the racing wouldn't go on all the time. And then certainly it might be a Saturday or Sunday event, but we also have to realize that during the wintertime, this track would be largely dormant. One of the things I think to counteract that is that Aarschot's considering other uses like an automotive technology institute, which I applaud them for. The other thing, too, is, and it was just touched upon, is I thought, you know, it almost was silly that I-70 and 71 are right there, and I guess I'm surprised that there's not more consideration for the 24-hour truck traffic at 60 miles per hour that goes by the facility all the time. So, you know, certainly racetrack is adding to it, but I don't think it would be that much more than what's already normal. And then I also want to mention, too, for listeners, as an automotive enthusiast, I remember when back in the 80s and into the very early part of the 90s, we used to have the Budweiser 500, which was a race that was of an international attraction, nationally televised, sponsored by the Ford dealers at the time, that closed down downtown traffic.
That's right.
On a Saturday. And they would run GT cars. They would have some of the most famous racers, and it really was a wonderful draw to the city, huge economic benefit. If you go onto YouTube and type in Budweiser 500, you'll see old news clips, and it really showcased the city. And I do think that from a race standpoint, this Cooper Park complex could really bring that. So I'm in favor. I could go on forever, but I'll leave it right now. Thank you.
All right, Clay, thanks for the call.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ann.
Carol, are you considering the location of it? What about that? I mean, I live near a highway, too, so I know about the sound that comes from it. What if it was no more sound than what the highway produces now, in the worst-case scenario?
Well, it depends on the kind of the sound. The mm-hmm. highway gives kind of a continuous, almost continuous background noise. And he mentioned stopping and starting. I have noticed, I only live 5 blocks from Cooper Stadium, and I have noticed that when there are events there that where there was a lot of noise, like battles of the bands and sometimes rock concerts or that kind of thing was there, that it's the stopping and the starting which annoys people. Because it's irregular, and people can get used to a sound that's kind of continuous. But when a noise is irregular, it's startling. You'll be, you know, kind of coasting along in life, and then the change bothers a lot of people.
Okay, I think startling was the word I was searching for earlier.
Yes.
Joe, can you tell us now what would a typical race consist of? And when we say race, I'm talking more like event, which has multiple races in it, right?
Well, but more importantly,
describe to me what an event is.
More importantly, let's understand that the race events that we're talking about that I think people are concerned about, I can probably count on one hand, right? The grassroots level of racing, there's many, many different sanctioning bodies and series, but there's a lot of, you know, amateur racing and youth programs out there. But our biggest races will still be of a minor league class. There'll be ARCA races, ASA late models, that type of thing. And those levels of racing produce the noise levels that were the assumptions for our noise study. Again, maybe 4 to 6 of those types of events. You know, lots of excitement, lots of fans, but still considerably less noise than NASCAR or Indy cars, certainly.
But they would be a day of racing. It wouldn't be just one race. They'd be events that would have multiple races.
Correct.
Okay.
Events that bring in people and dollars, which we think is an important part of the project. But also understand that if we were just talking about a racetrack, we wouldn't be here today because it wouldn't make sense. This site works because we can make reuse of existing infrastructure. We're going to preserve approximately 8,000 of the seats in Cooper Stadium. When we talked to Jeff Gordon's organization, and they made it very clear, if you're just talking about a racetrack, this doesn't make sense. But what intrigued them was our vision that this is much more than a racetrack. A racetrack is a important component of it, but it's a track that can be used not just for races, but in a variety of different ways. We're going to have a lodging facility there, a conference center, automotive research and technology center.
Is that a for sure? When you say automotive and technology, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, right now, you know, nothing's for sure. We're still trying to get this project zoned. That's our concept. We think with a partner like Jeff Gordon, Inc., and they've done this before in the Carolinas, that this is something that absolutely can come to fruition. They've got a school down there that they're involved with that produces 2,500 graduates a year. And the important part of that, I mean, we all hear about Toyota and the problems they're having in the news today. With the complex electronics in cars, the world, the automotive world is changing, and it's all about computers now. And our mechanics need the proper training to work on today's automobiles. And we think this is an excellent opportunity to train the mechanics of tomorrow and also to contribute to the innovation of new vehicle designs and alternative fuel systems.
The events, let's just stick with the events for a second because I think the larger picture is important, and I want to get Carol and Linda's feedback on that too. But the events, would they be mostly daytime events, nighttime events? How do you
– Yeah, they would be day –
And how long would they last? How many hours? Like,
you're asking me, you know, details.
I know, but I'm asking more like typically how long do such races last?
They would be – typically, I believe they would be day-long events where people – you know, arrive early and they you know, kind of come and go. For that reason, we don't think, you know, access or traffic is going to be an issue because it's not like you have all the fans arriving within 15 minutes. We don't plan to race past a certain time at night. We understand that at 10 o'clock, the noise ordinance
changes, right?
Changes.
Yeah. Okay. And when you would do them, would they be sort of like weekend events? So they'd be Saturday and Sunday or something like that instead of just one day? That's why, because I'm wondering about
I'm guessing it's going to be a variety.
Okay.
More often than the races, we may have a regional car club that comes into town. And they may arrive on Friday night and stay in the lodging facility, and they're there Saturday and they're there Sunday, and they're spending dollars and they're, you know, swapping stories and looking at each other's cars. That's why we think this works.
Okay, so that's another example of some of the events. Give me some other examples of what might go on there.
It won't even all be all automotive. We've talked to the BMX folks. We've talked about action sports like X Games types of things, rodeos, community fairs, corporate events. Because we're gonna have a conference center there. So here you are, one exit out of downtown. If you want to do a corporate event there with team building activities that involve getting on the track and driving, the track again can be used for research and testing of vehicles. It can be used, we'd like to have an automotive dealer present on site, so it could be used for test driving new cars. So often you go to buy a high performance car and you're driving through the back streets of Dublin. Here you could actually put on a track and see how it performs.
Linda, how does that overall vision strike you? Linda Berge from Greenland Cemetery.
I am not against the economic development in Franklinton. We need that. And we don't want to see Cooper Stadium sit empty. It's been my experience that a lot of these races are 3 or 4 day events. And there's usually always time trials ahead of the races and that sort of thing. And we have services every day, Saturday, Sunday, not as many on Sunday. It's usually Monday through Saturday. But from 9 till 3 or 4 in the afternoon, we have funerals there.
Almost every week?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we do between 600 and 700 burials a year. So it's a very active cemetery.
Okay. We're talking about the redevelopment of Cooper Stadium. We're going to have to take a break. If you're wondering, we did ask the city and county to join us in this, and they said no. They pointed fingers at each other and said, it's not my job. It's the city's job or it's the county's job. So I guess eventually we'll find out whose job it really is, but not today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is Neil Conan, host of Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Public radio taps the roots of democracy. It allows for healthy debate, diverse views, and intelligent talk, insights that may make you more uncomfortable, feelings that can leave you close to tears. Public radio exemplifies the freedoms we enjoy in America. But like any other freedom, it must be supported by those who believe in it. That's why we ask you to exercise your choice and give what you can. Thank you.
The number to call, 1-866-897-9678. That's the way you can show your support for WOSU. Or you can go online to our website, WOSU.org. Your support right now shows that you value programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher. The number to call, 1-866-897-9678. And if you call now with a $90 pledge, we'll send you the WOSU Stadium blanket. It's great for keeping warm at the game. It's a gray fleece throw, and it's embroidered with the WOSU logo. And that can be yours, the WOSU Stadium blanket, for a gift of $90 to WOSU. 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. There is a winter storm watch in effect for Central Ohio from Friday morning through Saturday afternoon. As for today, partly sunny skies and a high of 39. For tonight, a chance of a little snow and a low of 27 degrees, and then snow moves in for Friday. An accumulation of 1 to 3 inches is possible. Currently 31 degrees in downtown Columbus. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest today, Joe Sugar. He is general counsel for Arshot Investment Corporation. And Carol Stewart, she is president of the Franklinton Area Commission. And also Linda Berkey, she's general manager of Greenlawn Cemetery, which is right next to Cooper Stadium, which is what we're talking about, how to redevelop it. I'm going to take another call, and then we'll get back to some talk about the plans and, you know, the woulda, coulda, shoulda. What could we have done with Cooper? What should we do? And that sort of thing. 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And, Bob, you're on the air.
Hi.
You oppose it.
Right. Back in the 1970s, as I think clear, I used to jump into my Porsche and flash over to Watkins Glen for the F1 races. I'm still a gearhead the way I drive my GTI.
You're bragging about that Porsche, though, Bob.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It was a 914. I drove over 100 miles an hour and still couldn't get it below 25 miles per gallon.
Okay.
But that's so 20, and the rest of this stuff could be discussed then, too, noise and all that other stuff. But that's so 20th century. Racing cars use a lot of gas, and so do the people who attend the races. And in this time of oil as a national security issue and global warming issue as well, I think that Columbus would be rubbing mud in its own eye to get associated with so much gasoline consumption.
Okay. All right, Bob. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Joe, did you want to respond to that?
Yes. Currently, the combustion engine is powering the vehicles that will be on that track. The purpose of the Research and Technology Center is to develop new propulsion systems. Who's to say 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we're not racing, completely electric vehicles or hydrogen-powered vehicles? We think this is very innovative. We don't think we're looking back. We think we're looking forward and helping to put Columbus at the forefront of reinventing our automotive industry.
You know, the point's been made that as far as the ingress and egress of the highways, it's fine coming from the east and going east, but coming from the west and going west, it's not so great. Would there have to be improvements for that, do you think?
No, we don't believe so.
Okay. Carol, I was wondering, what were your hopes and dreams for the Cooper Stadium? Because correct me if I'm wrong, but you didn't really like the casino idea either.
Well, I'm very conservative, and gambling is just not something I believe in.
Okay.
It's something that was ingrained in me from the time I was a child, and the results of gambling is very hard on some parts of our population. But I now, you got me talking about the casino, but you really want to know what we think that could go there,
yeah,
if it wasn't a racetrack.
Yeah.
Well, some of the ideas they have would be very good. A sports complex would be great.
But who's going to pay for it?
That's true. It's got to make money.
Right.
And right now, some of the things that Joe mentioned are being done in other parts of Columbus. And so those places where they're being held now, if they came to a sports complex down here, that would probably hurt the other venues, like the Greater Columbus Convention Center and some of the fairgrounds events that are held up there. I have real mixed feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of what Arshad is planning or talking about doing, because nothing's sure, are very exciting. And we're talking about jobs. There are many people in the neighborhoods surrounding Cooper Stadium who would work in a hotel, who would work in restaurants. I don't think the actual track would bring us very many jobs, but I think that that would be a very positive for the neighborhood. But I'm just not yet convinced, and, there's still time for that, but I am still not convinced that the noise can be contained without putting a roof on the track. And, of course, that would be cost prohibitive.
Yeah. Linda, what about you? What sort of hopes and dreams did you have for it?
Well, when we had Roar public meetings, we solicited input from everyone at the meetings. And there are so many things that are needed in Franklinton. Health facilities was brought up. Sports facilities were brought up, you know.
When you say sports, what do you mean?
Bicycles, you know, places for the kids to go after school, that sort of
like
thing.
Like a rec center
type
thing? Okay.
Yeah. But none of them were very lucrative, actually. So, you know, I don't – we've even – Green Lawn has been approached – had been approached about purchasing the
– just as possible
coop.
Expansion.
Yes.
Okay.
But we have 80 acres left to develop at Green Lawn, so we really don't need any more land.
One of the requirements from the county is cash on the barrel, I guess. And the $3.3 million that you're prepared to pay for this would be cash.
Yes.
I mean, that's – okay. Let's take an email from John. John's in favor of racing. He says, I'm totally in favor of a NASCAR track in Columbus, but I am not sure about the location. A NASCAR event puts 110,000 fans in the stands for an event. They come starting on Wednesday and stay until Sunday evening, which is a huge addition to our economy. If indeed Jeff Gordon is part owner, he has already built a wing on the hospital in Indianapolis, has a charitable foundation, and I am sure he would be a donor to Columbus. So there's sort of two issues there. John thinks we're talking NASCAR, and we're not, right, Joe?
And that's
in not
part
NASCAR.
Why we're here.
Jeff Gordon won't be racing here as a NASCAR driver.
Right. Jeff Gordon will make appearances here. Jeff Gordon, there may be celebrity races. He has a lot of influence and a lot of friends and a lot of resources. He's a tremendous partner to have in this venture. But this is not going to be a NASCAR track. I can't say enough that brings in 80,000 people. This works because of its smaller size, because it's an infill project, and because it's so close to the population that we can have all these other uses.
Okay, let's take another call. I'm not sure because the emailer, I wasn't sure. They're sort of for and they were sort of against. So, 614-292-8513 if you want to talk to us. Mary, you're on the air. You're against having the track. Mary?
Yes. I am actually next door to the track at Abaco Rehabilitation and Nursing Facility. It's a 101-bed nursing home. And we have been told by the noise consultants there's no way that noise can be contained from the track, and that would affect within a mile and a half to 2 miles, as well as realtors are required to have disclosures at any purchase agreements within that area because of the racetrack, which is also causing property values decline. However, there is an alternative that I've proposed to the county, and it's called Sky Gardens. It's a large complex that could employ many people year-round, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, would have a hotel, would have a restaurant, cafe, a retail area, and would also have a park-like atmosphere available for the public, and this would be a public-private partnership that I'm working on, and I'm willing to buy that property.
Okay, but they have an option on it right now, right?
That's right.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your call, Mary.
Thank you.
Take care. There is that rehabilitation center there, but the point you continue to make, Joe, is that
we've met with Mary – several times as recently as last week. I took the time to sit down and make sure she understands what our noise study shows, to make sure she understands that the existing ambient noise levels at the nursing home are already in excess of 60 decibels just because of the proximity to the freeway, and showed her how the noise from our facility is not going to add to that.
We have an email right now. If you want to email us, go to allsides@wosu.org. This one's from another Bob. He asks, what is the economic benefit to Franklinton? Will all the money be spent on site, or will they, quote unquote, spread the wealth? Also, is Arshot Schottenstein? If so, they are local and would seem to have an interest making sure whatever's done will be high quality. So, yes.
Yeah, the principals of Arshot Investment Corporation are Bill Schottenstein and Tom Schottenstein. They have a proven track record of completing sophisticated and successful projects in and around Central Ohio, We don't take on a lot of different projects at any one time. We do unique projects. This is a project that we believe in.
I wanted to ask, how did it occur? Is Bill Schottenstein, are they big racing fans? How did this come to pass? Because there aren't a lot of models for racetracks so close to a city center.
That's correct. No, we think this is a very
almost unique.
Very unique. A very innovative design. And we're working with internationally renowned track architect who has made it clear that really nobody's done something like this before, but it really could be a game changer. And that's why, again, Columbus has an opportunity to be at the forefront.
It goes back
to before my time, and Bill Schottenstein was the first person to propose actually moving the Clippers to another part of closer into downtown.
Okay.
And he understood that if you were to do that, you have to have a reuse for the Cooper Stadium site, and this was his proposal. The track would provide facilities that Columbus doesn't have. Frankly, the state of Ohio doesn't have. There's a test track up in Marysville,
right,
that Honda owns. Ohio State Center for Automotive Research, that they currently drive all the way up there and use it. But if those kids could go to this facility that's much closer in, and keep the work here, that would be a good thing.
Okay, let's take another call. It's 614-292-8513. If you want to get on the air, we have about, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, something like that. John, you're in favor of the track? You're on the air.
Yes, I am. The one concern I have is that every time a project like this seems to come up, people come out and start talking against it. But they all, have ideas for parks and this and that. All these seem to cost taxpayers money or the city money. Here's a group that comes along, and as far as I understand, they want to use their own money to pay for this. And it's not only using private money, but it's going to contribute to the community and actually bring Franklinton up. I've been involved in activities down there before, and you drive through Franklinton, and it's sad to see that place deteriorate. And the more we say no to these new ideas that come along, the more it deteriorates, and it drags the community down with it. So I just wanted to say that, I look at this as a really exciting opportunity in many different ways, not just about cars, but about, a lot of different activities. And I think the people of Franklinton are going to be grateful in the years to come, as well as wider Columbus area are going to be grateful that we have an opportunity for something like this that doesn't cost the taxpayers anything.
Okay, John, thanks for your call.
Sure.
May I interject a thought that...
Carol? Yeah.
There is a gentleman who works in Franklinton, and he's been here for a number of years, and he suggested that if this project goes through, that there be a Franklinton Foundation formed, and every time that the noise limit went over the limit, that instead of the fine going to the city, that it go into this Franklinton Foundation, which in turn would be used back for uses in Franklinton.
Joe, what sort of things is our shop prepared to do to kind of reach out to Franklinton? And
well, I guess what I was going to say is, if there is a fine, obviously Columbus, can direct it wherever it wants to. We very much want to be a partner with Franklinton. We think we're going to be bringing 300 plus, full and part-time jobs to the people of Franklinton. But more importantly, we understand that if the noise ordinance is violated, more than any monetary penalty, we're going to be shut down. So we are the ones at risk. If we're going to spend $5 million to construct a 35-foot high sound wall, if it doesn't function as intended, we need to make changes to make sure that we do comply. because if we don't, we're not operating.
Okay. Linda?
Well, we haven't talked much about the roar noise study here, but I would like to encourage people to read the noise study at roarcolumbus.org, because there's a lot of points that refute some of the noise barrier information, and I think that will help people have a bit more balanced opinion, maybe.
Okay, and they can get that at
roarcolumbus.org.
Roarcolumbus.org, and you can also get that probably from a link on wosu.org/allsides. We have an email right now from a listener who opposes it. Who opposes putting the racetrack in. They write, I lived right by I-70 for 10 years. The noise from that was nowhere near what the continuous noise from racing cars will be. Decibels are irrelevant. The high-pitched whine of race cars will be far more obnoxious than the low-pitched truck engines. So, Joe, again, we're not experts. It's hard to know.
And I'm assuming that person's not an expert. Again, it's just all assumptions, and we're working with Harris Miller and Hansen out of Massachusetts. We conducted a nationwide search for qualified acoustical consultants. There was a panel assembled of city, county, and area groups. We sent out a mass mailing to the National Acoustical Organization. We got proposals back. We ranked these different firms based on their experience with motorsports facilities, and then three were selected as being deemed the most qualified. We've actually been working with two of those three, and they perform extensive computer modeling that determines what the sound impact's going to be, and it's all dependent on the assumed noise emission levels and the abatement measures, the sound barriers.
And also, we should say that the conclusions of RSHOT's noise study have been passed along to Roar's consultants, and they have that in hand now and are studying it. And so we await their response to that too, right, Linda?
Yes.
Okay.
That's true.
We've run out of time. It's an interesting topic. Sorry I couldn't get to all the phone calls, but I'm sure we'll be talking about it again. We have about 30 seconds.
I was just going to encourage anybody that wants to see what our project will look like. They can go to cooperparkcomplex.com. We have a 6-minute computer animated tour of what the facility will look like, and it's very exciting.
Okay, and we'll have both of those websites, links to those, on wosu.org/allsides. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.